Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back. It's Wednesday Nightcap Bible Study with yours truly, Wendy Lee Tucker. And the fox is back in the hen house. He's been out a couple of weeks trying to get better. He was feeling under the weather, so I am excited because tonight we are continuing our studies in the study guide called Critical Truths You Need to Know But Will Never Hear About in Church. And tonight, Pastor will, once I get through this first little beginning here, is going to take up the first part of this, which is something I always look forward to when we do this study, because you always learn something new when you start talking about the earthly kingdom of Israel. And also we're going to get into the rapture of the church, the bride of Christ. When does the rapture occur? Who's going? Also, God's wrath will not be poured out on his son, the bride of his son, I'm sorry. And then Pastor will finish our study with the four Advents. So we have a really interesting and fun, happy promises that we're going to see, that we are going to learn about tonight, that our Lord has in store for us and our Heavenly Father has in store for us. So remember to go to www.blogtalkradio.com/thehenspenshow, Outreach Ministry. Click on that little box up in the top right-hand corner. It's a waterfall, and you click on episodes, and it will take you to a library full, although I believe now when you go on the site itself, it takes you straight to episodes since you're going on as a listener. So it's really simple. So check it out, because we have a library full of study guides that have been read to you. I've gone through two. I'm getting ready, God willing, once we get through this, if we're still here, then I will be going into the answer, which I'm excited about that. So also remember to go to www.greattribulationministries.org. That is very important, because that is the official website for Daniel Lee Earle Hall, his books, study guides, studies, audio lesson in Revelation called Revelation on the Brink. You can listen to it, you know, right there on your computer, or you can download it onto CDs and share it with your friends who are not computer literate. It's a really nice, systematic walk through. A short and sweet, but systematically walking through the book of all 22 chapters of Revelation. It's four CDs. So please check that out, because that's a really important study. And then also on the Great Tribulation Ministry.
It'll be six CDs.
Six. And so the more the merrier, because we're getting, that's a lot. That's a big, big, long 22 chapters. Also, we have on the website, we have the spiritual warfare study, which is a very important study for you to do in your spare time and learn the tools that we have, which we did a study on that. But that study goes a little more in depth of how we can protect ourselves from the unseen forces of this world, which is Satan, the devil, and his demons. And what they are out to do until the Father sends the Son to take us home. And then, oof, you don't want to be here after that. Anyways, let's get moving here. Let me see if that's all my announcements. Yes. So, Pastor, since you are back, you get to take it to the throne.
Okay. Father in heaven, Lord Jesus, all of us united together on this program and in the delight of your Holy Spirit, which is directed. Every bit of information we're presenting, it's right in your word. He wrote it all. We thank you for that. And we just look to you as you reveal this to us and help us understand the gravity of the error of religion in this world. It's really serious. And we just pray that everybody be moved. Just come to you, Lord Jesus, for you are the one who saves, not religion. Religion has nothing to give you, nothing. It has no eternal life. And it can do nothing for you. So we thank you and pray for your blessing on everyone who listens and to this program in the future. And always come to you in the name and the power and the love of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. You there? Hello?
I'm sorry, I had muted myself. A quick recap, just the last few weeks, we have been, last week is actually when we went into the spiritual armor of God. Thank you very much, Wendy. Also, who, what, and why we are, who, what, and why are we in Christ? And it just goes into something that really, when I speak it, when I speak these words, it brings joy to my heart, that we're all regenerated, regeneration. We learned about justification, reconciliation, sanctification, to be made righteous. That's what we discussed the last few weeks and how that process takes place. And the good news, if you weren't here, is that we have no part in that. That also is the doing of our Lord and Savior and our Heavenly Father. The Holy Spirit is who is going to teach us and change us and mold us. So today, now we get into some really important material because of a subject called replacement theology, and Pastor's going to get into that. So, Pastor, you take it away from here with the earthly kingdom of Israel, and who are these two females? My goodness.
You'll find out. Okay. You know, I just looked up in my telephone book, and I was amazed at all the weird new churches that are listed. I couldn't believe it. All kinds of weird new churches. If you're going to a church, I want to warn you, check first to see if they're teaching replacement theology. If they are, I'll just be the first one to tell you, you don't want to be there. You see, the most evil doctrine which the Catholic Church formulated and passed on to Protestant churches is called replacement theology. This is the teaching that the Christian Church replaced Israel. This is total blasphemy, total insanity. This is the most blasphemous doctrine that these apostate churches have. You know what they're teaching? And they don't even know it. And because they don't talk about it much. But they're teaching, in essence, that the father dumped his wife Israel because she became unfaithful, which she did, and began gathering the bride for his son. Well, somewhere along the way, God the Father stole the wife of the son and took her as his to replace Israel. This would be heavenly incest. Now, demonic people and demonic religions and demonic people that are heading such religions have done that in the past. Our God would never do that. We are the bride of Christ. Israel is the wife of the Father, and the Father is restoring her during the Great Tribulation. That's what it's for, to save her and restore her. There are two different females here, and you'll see that as we go over this. Two different females. You'll see why God doesn't deal with two females at the same time. Anyway, first point here is that Genesis 12:3, God told Abraham that whoever blessed Israel would be blessed, and whoever cursed Israel would be cursed. Now, this was written 4,000 years ago, and it has stayed 100% true for 4,000 years and will not change. It's the way it was then, and it's the way it is today. All the covenants were made with Israel. If we don't have Israel, we don't have anything. Because even the new covenant was made with Israel. We are simply grafted in, Paul said. And Israel is the foundation of Christianity. And our Lord was born through Israel. Everything goes through Israel. And all those covenants that God made with Israel and with Abraham are eternal covenants. They're not temporary. They're eternal. But God's going to fix her. She's his wife. He loves her. In Matthew 24, Jesus was asked questions by his apostles, who were Jews, and he referred to the prophet Daniel's reference to the abomination of desolation, which would stand in the holy place and take away the sacrifices after a period of 3.5 years. That's Matthew 24:15 and Daniel 12:11. This will be the Antichrist. And we know who he is. Anyway, if you want to know, call Wendy. We know who the Antichrist is, and we know who the false prophet is. Nobody else does.
Amen
but
to
we
that.
Don't want to program, but it's very clear who they probably are. You know, and all we can say is 99% because it's not written in the word and given names, but it's very clear that these people are existing today. One is alive, one is not, but they're both existing, and they both have to die before they're cast into the lake of fire. So they both have to die soon. One's already died, the other one will die in the next 3 years probably. Anyway, this will be a time, this time of tribulation, which sacrifices are returned in Israel and resumed again. Full celebration of the Sabbath, which clearly shows that Christians, but rather is specifically dealing with Israel. Matthew 24:20. Jesus said, "For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been seen since the beginning of the world." Matthew 24:21. And this is the name of our website, The Great Tribulation Ministries. That's what it's for, because we're sitting on the brink of it. The 7 years of tribulation of Israel is actually the 70th week of the 70 weeks of years spoken of by Daniel the prophet. The 70th week is separate from the 69 weeks and from the 2 weeks, and it did not run sequentially with the 69th week, because that ended at the death of Jesus Christ, Daniel 9:24-27. And in verse 27, Daniel briefly mentions the 70th week and refers to the abomination of desolation and an end to the sacrifices. So obviously there will be a new temple built, and that will happen with an agreement between the Muslims and the Palestinians and Israel. So that will be done. At the end of the 69th week, God discontinued his exclusive dealing with Israel, the wife of the Father. And he turned his attention to all nations gathering the bride for his son, Jesus. Now, the Bible identifies two separate and distinct females: the adulterous woman, fleshly Israel, wife of the Father, and the chaste virgin, wife of the Son, the bride of Christ, spiritual Israel. And we got to point out that while the bride of Christ receives the wrath of the nations, as our Lord and Savior did, the wrath of God poured out during the Great Tribulation would never be directed at the bride of the Son, and Wendy will share that with you in a few minutes, that the gathering of the bride of Christ will continue until the rapture of the church, the bride of Christ. Now, some Christians believe that God has rejected the nation of Israel and replaced it with spiritual Israel. That's absolutely absurd. The scriptures reveal that there are two separate and distinct different females. The woman is fleshly Israel, never spoken of as anything but the adulterous woman. The bride of Christ is never spoken of as a woman, only a chaste bride, a virgin. In the bottom of this page 22, we have a list of 8 things to identify the two different groups. And then we'll explain to you something. Okay, under Israel, Israel is the woman who was unfaithful, and boy, she was. I mean, she brought the Pharisees and the priests and everything brought in pagan gods and brought them into the temple, faced them toward the east. They built the high places. They did everything against Yahweh, everything imaginable. She was unfaithful. But then there's the bride of Christ. She's referred to as a bride, a chaste virgin. Secondly, is Israel again. She's the wife of the Father. The bride of Christ is the wife of the Son. Thirdly, is Israel came about through a physical birth through Abraham. The bride of Christ came about through a spiritual birth, being born from above or born again. And Jesus said we had to be. If you're not born by the Holy Spirit, you're not of the bride of Christ. I'm sorry. He said you had to be, and that's true. Because if you're not born again, if you haven't received the Holy Spirit, you can't even understand what we're talking about here. So pray for the Holy Spirit to teach this to you. This is critical.
And the fourth is salvation for Israel is national. It's corporate. In other words, Paul said that all Israel will be saved, but that doesn't mean that every person that ever lived who was a Jew is going to be saved. There were some pretty evil Jews. Herod, for one, right? There were many. They will not inherit eternal life with Israel. They will not inherit the throne in Israel on the earth. They will be sent away. So corporate or salvation is corporate. It's national. With Christ and being in the bride of Christ, salvation is individual. Each one of us must come to Christ. It's individual. Number five, the founders of Israel were Abraham and Moses. The founder of Christianity is Jesus Christ. Six, the kingdom gospel will be preached by Israel during the Great Tribulation. If any of you are in the Watchtower, you know we're preaching the good news of the kingdom as the gospel. Well, that's not the gospel. That's the gospel of Israel. In fact, that's the gospel that Jesus preached when he was here. That's the gospel that the apostles preached to the Jews when they preached the gospel. But to the Gentiles, they preached the gospel of Christ, which is by his death, burial, and resurrection, we are saved. And the Great Commission, of course, to go forth and teach all the things that Jesus has commanded us. So we have the gospel of Christ. They have the kingdom gospel. And during the tribulation, they're going to preach the gospel of the kingdom. 144,000 Jews will be raised up, come to Christ, and they will be tribulation saints along with the great crowd, which are Gentiles, people of all tribes, nations, and tongues. But these 144,000 are of the 12 tribes of Israel. All of them are Israelites. They're not like the Watchtower taught. And they will preach the gospel kingdom. Seven, Israel always needed a sign. They kept asking Jesus for a sign, right? Sign of his return. When he come in, what's the sign? We have the imminent return of Christ, and he's coming any minute. Any time now. He can come any time. Everything is done. We're just waiting for him to come. Number eight, Israel is brought to perfection through tribulation and through the great tribulation. We are brought to perfection because righteousness and perfection is imputed. Just like Wendy said, sanctification, justification, reconciliation. This is all imputed to us. Immortality, glory, incorruptibility. It's all imputed, given to us, credited to our account. It's a free gift. And if God would have left one of them out, this whole plan would not have worked if he had just left one of these out. It all had to be done, and guess what? None of us could do this. You can't fix yourself. You can't even fix anybody else, or your wife, or your husband, or your kids. Only God can fix us, and he has. Now, about the two females, I got a little story to tell you. A few years ago, a person called me from Canada. From Toronto, Canada. Her name was Ruth Bayer, and she was a member of the Bayer family that was World War II that helped Hitler. But anyway, the Bayer Aspern family. And her family had become Jehovah's Witnesses. She had left, but she was going to churches, and they weren't answering her questions. So anyway, one of her questions was about this replacement theology. And after I explained it to her, she said, well, I know that's for sure. She says, because, you know why? And I go, no. She says, God is much smarter than man, and he'd never deal with two women at the same time. Now, that's what Ruth Bayer said. You'll meet her in heaven. Great lady. She passed away of cervical cancer, but she put my first two books up on Amazon, and I appreciate that. We were good friends. And I got a little story to tell you. Her father's name was Wolfgang. Now, can you imagine anybody naming their kid Wolfgang? But this was Germany, remember?
Yeah.
Her mother's name was Hildegard. And anyway, it was Ruth's birthday coming up. And so I went to the store and I bought this giant, I don't know if you remember, you could buy these giant candy bars, Baby Ruth's, right? And I packaged it up and I sent it. And I put a note on the front of it. And I said, what do you get
if you cross a Wolfgang with a Hildegard? And the answer is, you get a baby Ruth. Anyway,
oh,
it was funny.
Perfect.
Thank you, everybody.
Oh,
bless.
Right.
And now Wendy's going to talk to you about some other things about Matthew 24 and 25 and our crowns. And go ahead, Wendy, take it from here.
I don't know. I'm in the mood for a candy bar right now. You got me all caramel and nuts and chocolate. Thanks,
Pastor. Can you imagine Wolfgang and Hildegard?
You see, you get a baby Ruth, and that makes sense.
Wow.
Oh, goodness, this information. I'm listening to you read it, and we have to know that most scholars agree that Matthew 24 and 25 are spoken to, written to, and applied to that fleshly Israel and not to the church, the body of Christ, Christian believers. Now, in the Greek, that's called ecclesia. These chapters apply during the Great Tribulation upon Israel. Some have differing opinions, but most scholars and Christians believe, and evidence concurs, raptured prior to the outbreak of the Great Tribulation. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Proving the point, we go to Revelation 4:1, and it says, before the Great Tribulation begins, a door opens in heaven, and John sees 24 elders with crowns of gold. Now, if you look at verse 10, the 24 elders cast their crowns at the Lord's feet. Only the church have such crowns, and the church is never mentioned as being on the earth again until they return with Christ, which is in Revelation chapter 19. So, the Greek word for these crowns is stephanos, which means victory wreaths, not diadema, which is a golden crown with diadems, such as what a real king would wear, or an earthly king. Here, if we look, we have some scriptures, so we can jot these down or come back and listen again on the recording, are the crowns that we, and I love, this is the exciting part, the crowns that we receive. Goodness good, is being forgiven and given eternity in heaven with, you know, on earth with our Lord and our families is not enough for the Lord. He's going to just embellish us. And here's how he does it. Number one, we get a crown called the imperishable crown. We will never perish. 1 Corinthians chapter 9:25. Number two, crown of rejoicing for helping others to Christ. That's 1 Thessalonians 2:19. Number three, crowns of life for enduring trials. Oh, boy, have we all done that. And he recognizes that. James chapter 1, verse 12. Ooh. Number four, the crown of righteousness. 2 Timothy 4:8. And number five, the crown of glory. Remember, y'all, we get glorified. 1 Peter 5:4. So that's 1 Peter 5:4. So, three of these crowns are given us for eagerly awaiting the return of our Lord, folks. Our glory is purely for the glory of God. Now, as Paul showed, at the name of Jesus, every knee, y'all, shall bow and should bow, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. And you go to Philippians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Matthew 24 and Revelation 6 are correlating scriptures. The Lord Jesus Christ revealed both of these accounts. Now, in Matthew, the disciples asked him about the destruction of that temple that Pastor talked about that'll be rebuilt. Tell us, when will these things be? and what will be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? That's Matthew 24:3. Both accounts are descriptions of the Great Tribulation, which, hallelujah, we won't be here. So let's get into my favorite part of this study, which is number 10, the rapture of the church, the bride of Jesus Christ. I got to share that today with some friends, and it was wonderful. So the rapture of the church, when does it occur? That's the biggest question. The word rapture, first of all, means a state of ecstasy and does not occur, actually, in the Bible, except in the Latin Vulgate. However, the Greek word which describes the rapture is the word harpazo. That's harpazo, H-A-R-P-A-Z-O, if you are a studier, which means to be seized, snatched, plucked, taken by force, and literally caught away. Remember, you guys, in the Greek, one word in English has all these definitions. So you have seized, snatched, plucked, taken by force, literally caught away, whoop, sucked up. So this place, this takes place when Jesus Christ returns to take his bride home for the marriage of the Lamb. That's Revelation chapter 19. Read the whole thing. It is clearly outlined in the Bible and accepted by pretty much all Christians. True Christians. Remember, there is a difference, like Pastor said. Now, the rapture has to take place, for this is the only way that God can get the bride, that Pastor talked about, of his son to heaven. That's you and me, the grafted in Greeks, Gentiles. One of the things that Pastor had written in his experiences is that when he would meet Christians that were not sure if they were going to be raptured of the church, he would challenge them to give them an alternative of how they would get up. He said, God isn't going to close the door to heaven and wait 100 years for all those chosen to die off while not choosing anyone else during those 100 years. So it's not like we have to die and wait to die for our spirit to go to heaven. We're all going up. So think about that for a second, you guys. That's pretty powerful. And that's a very good question, but we see how the Bible has answered it. So we ask ourselves here, once again, we know God won't close that door to heaven for us and wait and choose anybody. That's, some people might think that, but that's
what the Seventh-day Adventists taught, and they had to change it after 100 years. And the Watchtower is teaching the same thing, basically.
Yeah,
and they're going to change it, too, because that doesn't work.
Like we said, we remember something every time we study this chapter. So that question, Pastor, when is it going to occur? Some think that it won't take place until, get this, this is really bad, the end of the tribulation. Okay, others believe it will occur in the middle. However, the majority hold a pre-tribulation rapture of the body of Christ. Most agree that it will definitely be pre-wrath, prior to God's wrath being released upon the world of rebellious mankind. Remember, he said he will not pour his wrath out on his chaste virgin bride. That's what you have to remember. 1 Thessalonians 4:14-18 says of the rapture, "For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, and even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord himself, with a cry of command, with the archangel's call, and with the sound of a trumpet, will descend from heaven, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we, you and me, who are alive, who are left, will be caught up, harpazo, what I just told you, what I just described to you, all those words, seized up, plucked up, sucked up, whoop, taken away, in the clouds together with them to meet the Lord, where? In the air, so that we will be with the Lord forever." Bam. Paul also, said, "Behold," and I love the scripture, Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet. For the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we, you and me, shall be changed. Ah, promises of God, 1 Corinthians 15, verse 51 and 52. That is straight out of the Word, y'all. Here are the reasons that I believe and pastor believes our Lord will come shortly before the tribulation and before the wrath is poured out in his enemies. And we're going to just go right through it, okay? God's wrath will not be poured out on the bride of his son. While the saints are not spared from the wrath of this world, he didn't make a promise that we'd walk through life without problems. Remember, he said his wrath would not be poured out on his chaste bride. But he did
not. We'd
have
trial, trouble, and tribulation, right?
Okay. Yes, amen to that, Pastor. So God will not pour his wrath on that chaste virgin bride, you and I, of his son, who are his fully, remember now, we are redeemed, okay? And temples in which the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit dwells. That's who we are. We are the temples. And he would be pouring out his wrath on himself. So does common sense right there, but the word says it. 1 Thessalonians 5:9. For God has not appointed us to wrath. Revelation 3:10. Because you kept my word of patience, endurance, I will keep you from the hour of trial that is coming on the whole world to test the inhabitants of the earth. 1 Thessalonians 1:10. And to wait for his son from heaven, whom he raised from the dead, Jesus, who rescues us from the wrath, hello, that is what? Coming. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles, to the church, you and me. If we needed to be concerned about the great tribulation, y'all, Paul would have told us, he would have warned us. On this subject, he was silent. Now, during the great tribulation on earth, rewards are given to the saints in heaven and the marriage of the Lamb takes place. So you see what we'll be doing while everybody who's left behind because they didn't want to accept Jesus, they didn't want to believe that something so wonderful could be offered to us by our Creator. So now they have to go through the great tribulation and become tribulation saints. Hello? We're going to be what? We are going to be with the Lamb. Okay, so if the church were still on earth, there would be no need, by the way, for the 144,000. So that's Revelation chapter 7, or the two witnesses of Revelation chapter 11. Let me go back to C, which is during the tribulation on earth, rewards are given to the saints in heaven, and the marriage of the Lamb take place, and also at the end, because I missed this, at the end of the tribulation, the saints return with Christ, you and me. Our 7 years is up in heaven, peace and, you know, having party or whatever we're doing. It sounds like it's going to be great. Christ is going to bring us back for Armageddon and to rule upon the earth. Or bring us back to Armageddon. That's a place, remember. If the church were still on the earth, there would be no need, once again, for the 144,000. Please go to Revelation 7 or those two witnesses of Revelation 11. In Revelation 4, 1 and 4, a door opens up in heaven, okay, and the church is never mentioned again on the earth. Instead, the 24 elders now appear in heaven, and in verse 10, check this out, they cast their crowns before the throne. Only the church has crowns. Revelation 5 is preparatory for the great tribulation. And in chapter 6, bam, it breaks out. The church is now in heaven, folks. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 7 and 8 says that the Antichrist, Pastor spoke about it, cannot be revealed until the restrainer is removed. The Holy Spirit that dwells in all Spirit-begotten believers, you and me, restrains the Antichrist. The church is in heaven before, though, the Antichrist appears. Now, God did not begin gathering the church until he discontinued dealing with fleshly Israel. God doesn't deal with both females, as Pastor has said, because he's smarter than mankind, who deals with 2, 3, 4, you know, and these freaks that marry 6 and 7 at the time. He does not begin to restore fleshly Israel until he has done what? Gathering the church and the Gentile times are over. The church is not on the earth during the tribulation. So when all heck breaks loose down here, we won't be here. We will be up there, okay, in heaven, in the kingdom of God, with the Lamb, our Savior, our Jesus, meeting everybody. You know, I've got my I'm ready. Now, what about those? Here's the serious, real serious part about this whole thing, and you know, it's a shame because it's a free gift. Hello. What about those left behind? Those left behind during the rapture. The bride of Christ will be taken up, and millions who thought, this is where those who thought they were Christians, will not be raptured up. Anyone who finds themselves on earth after the rapture of the church must confess belief in Jesus Christ, receive Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, and be saved, and to have their names written down in the book of life. Additionally, when the great tribulation begins, many Jews, as Pastor had talked about earlier, who had, you know, cheated and was unfaithful, many Jews will finally receive Jesus Christ as their true Messiah, and millions from all nations, tribes, and tongues will receive Jesus and be saved. Revelation chapter 7. Possibly including church attendees who never received the Spirit of Christ, which is Romans 8 and 9. Because as we know, there's a lot of people that go to church. There's a lot of people that run churches, and but it doesn't mean they have the Spirit of God. So, you know, this is going to be a rough time on the earth because churches won't be able to be exposed. You'll be killed, which we'll get. That's another study. So anyways, so what we will find, the question is, what will we find on the earth? Okay, by the end of the tribulation, any vestige of real Christianity, which I just started to tell you, will be gone from religion. All religion, even those claiming to be Christian, will be completely occultic, and any Christianity will only be a facade. So you won't be learning about Jesus Christ if there is church. They will be that one world order and that whole mess that we know we can get into. As Jesus said, and we need to remember this, the Great Tribulation will be a time of trouble, which the world has never seen and will never see again. And you can go to Matthew 24:21. For those in Christ, though, we will be with our Lord in heaven. Isn't that wonderful? And all we had to do is accept a gift. So we will not be directly impacted by the tribulation. So for anyone reading this study guide and studying the study guide, how much better to go to our God and Father and receive Jesus, which we'll do later on. And before I give it back, because it'll definitely make your life so much easier and save you so much trouble. But before Pastor gets into to the four Advents, one of the things that I wanted to add to this was that it's going to be a time when you read these scriptures, and you need to visualize this. Close your eyes and visualize this. that those who want to serve Jesus, that want to give their lives to Jesus so that they can be great tribulation saints, martyrs for Christ, because those who will be found will be, we know what the Bible says in Revelation, what will happen to those in Christ on the earth. I have to tell you, accepting Jesus is the easiest gift to if I offer you a gift, you know you'll accept it with happiness. Accept this gift, and like we've been studying over the few weeks, do not be concerned about you making those changes, because like Pastor said earlier, and what I had just read to you, if you do not have the Holy Spirit, you need to pray for the Holy Spirit. You need to go to God for the Holy Spirit. And we need to remember that how important it is to be away from the earth at this time because of what is going to happen. And I hope, Pastor, we can get into that study someday of what Revelation says that the time will be like on the earth. But that's another study. You are going to finish us up with the four Advents, which is something I love to sit back and listen to you preach on, because that's awesome. So,
well, this is something most people don't know about. You might have noticed on your calendar in December that the four Sundays before Christmas are called the first, second, third, and fourth Advent Sundays. Now, the interesting thing is, what is an Advent? Well, it's a momentous appearance, an arrival, the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ as the major Advent, okay? And the four Advents are celebrated on the four Sundays before Christmas. But the world has only two Advents. You see, we as Christians who have accepted Christ, we have four Advents. The world has two. They know about his coming as a man and his death, burial, and resurrection. That's all they know about. And they know he said he was going to come back. But his bride, at the end of the tribulation, is going to be with him while he destroys all the enemies of Israel. But those are the only two Advents the world knows about. We have four. Our additional Advents were, besides his coming as and being born and lived and suffered and died and rose, that had to be. Besides that, his second Advent is he comes to live in us when we accept him as our Lord and Savior.
Amen.
Father, Son, and Holy Spirit come to live in us. This is all recorded over and over again in the Bible. John 14:1-5 talks about it. John 14:23 talks about it. That's what he's going to do. So we have that one. We have one more. The rapture. The rapture is our third advent of Jesus that we have that the world doesn't have. He comes
Ecclesia
to take us. And this is going to be the most momentous time in your life and mine for now. Who knows what God has in store for us for eternity? But for right now, even beyond being born again and having the Holy Spirit go through you and wake you up, which happened to me, this is going to be a momentous time. I can't even imagine getting a new glorified spiritual body and rising with all the people I love and all my family and loved ones waiting for me up there. This is going to be the greatest time. I'm looking forward to nothing else. Sorry. You know, this world is a mess. This world is, this is pre-tribulation activities going on. What a crazy world.
Yes.
But we know a little bit what that tribulation is going to be like. Look at the world today. It's going to get even worse. This thing is going to blow sky high. You wait till these crazy liberals and the rest of them get into this thing. We got a big mess ahead, but not for us because we're going home. So we have four Advents. Our additional Advents, of course, I've told you about. And when he came to live in us and send the Holy Spirit, and when he comes at the rapture to take his bride home. So we have let's see, two more, well, unless you haven't received Christ yet, we've got two or three more great events, Advents, and these are special. And that doesn't mean we're Adventists, it means we're Christians. So anyway, in addition to all this other, These special Advents remind us of our Lord and what he's doing for us and his awesome plan. And thank you, Wendy, for sharing this with us. What a plan. No man dreamed this up, let me tell you. No man. And I didn't dream one word in any of this or any of my books or any of the website. This is all from the Word of God, word for word. I am paranoid about presenting God's Word as he says it, not as some church or religion or some guy thinks it, just what the Lord says. And his promises are so awesome. And I thank you for sharing this with us, Wendy. The joy we have right now we're on the brink of the rapture of the church. It could come any day. And we know he's coming shortly because this world's ready to blow up. And it's going into its tribulation. So we just urge you and encourage you to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior. That's all you have to do. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. Thank you, Wendy. Mm-hmm. God bless you.
Thank you, Pastor. It is easy. And not only is it easy, the gospel, Jesus himself speaks about the gospel being simple, the simplicity of the gospel. It's not, we're not supposed to be bogged down in man-made religion, because remember in the book of James, God the Father has no religion except to what? Take care of widows and orphans in their need and remain unspotted from the world. And that's just one of many things that Jesus also told us, as far as loving our neighbor, loving our enemies, taking care of our neighbors and trying to help our enemies so they see the light. But, you know, just the provision of life and how we are all brothers and sisters is what Jesus came to preach, and he came to put a sword, folks, between religion and mankind, because his sword, which is the Word of God, the Bible, which was hijacked by mankind and turned into religion, they use it for religion, but the Bible itself is not religion. These are accounts and promises of God to us, and to accept Christ, it's not a formal thing. I've been to so many churches of all denominations, and it scares me, because it's why people don't want to go to church, and it's why people don't, when you say, oh, have you accepted the Lord? No, I'm good. I mean, I remember being like that, but then I was a Jehovah's Witness and didn't understand Jesus. I only knew Jehovah. So, you know, just come, when you're ready, when you get to that point, it's a simple prayer. And if you're ready now, you can repeat after me, and all you have to do is call out to him himself, Jesus, the one who needs to be your Savior, who you want to be your Savior when you're ready, and just say, dear Jesus, I want you to be the Savior of my life. I want to accept your gift of eternal life, to be made righteous, to be redeemed, to be sanctified, to be made glorious for the Father in you, to glorify you only for you to glorify us. So just pray, say, dear Jesus, please come into my life, be the Lord of my life. I renounce my past thinking, my past thoughts, and I put everything, all my thoughts, at the foot of the cross, and I ask that you send the Holy Spirit into my heart, because I believe, Jesus, that you lived, that you died, that you suffered a horrific death, but that you died and were resurrected for me. You did that for me, to forgive me of all my sins. So I want this gift of forgiveness. I want this gift of eternal life, dear Jesus. And do that in the name and the power of your Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. You only have to do that prayer once, but you can pray all day long just talking to God and asking him, please, today I ask again for the Holy Spirit. Because remember, you can't fake it. There's no faking it. You can't present yourself to the Lord and want to take this gift and say, yeah, I'll take this gift. Yeah, I believe. Yeah. No, you have to believe in order to receive. We can hand you it, but it's not going to work out for you because, like Pastor said, until you have the Holy Spirit, and I know this firsthand in you guys because of all the years of my brain being brainwashed by the occultic teachings of the Watchtower Society and other studies that I've done in religion, you guys, it's the simplest thing, the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection. I always like to end it with people that I meet new that remember that when he died, when he was buried, your sins were buried with him. See, and the church doesn't want to teach you that, and the church doesn't want to teach you that when you receive the Holy Spirit truly, no man can teach you. They can guide you through scripture and like Pastor does and we do, take you to the scriptures that teach you that my favorite subject, which is what? The mystery, the great mystery in the New Testament, which is what? Christ in you, the hope of glory. Gee, I never learned that in religion, and I've never been to a church yet that has put that together all at once so people can be so happy knowing that just putting that trust in the Lord and let him change you, he will change you. You are not the one that makes the change of who you are. Wendy did not change Wendy. There's just no way. It took me 40-something years. And then finally, I accepted the Lord. And guess what? Bam, 12 years later, I'm better and better and better and feeling better and getting stronger with the Lord. And knowing that a good work has been begun in me and will continue in you and me and Pastor and everyone who is in Christ until the day of his return, the rapture. So until then and until next week, if we're not taken up, thank you for joining us. I just want to thank the listeners on the podcast because the site's been kind of messed up with Internet Explorer and it's been hard for me to get stats, but there was a nice flux. I think on the 17th of listeners, and so I am glad that you're enjoying this. You can go on the website. There's comment areas under each. If you have questions, you can also, if you don't want to go on the comment box, you can write me at Casey Jones, CaseyJones, the number 4 and the word ever, at yahoo.com. And remember to go into the archives to listen to previously recorded programs, not just with me, but with Pastor and Sunshine Girl. Sunshine Girl has her studies as well, and I believe Pastor has quite a few that I'm not on. Remember, we have The Answer. We have Pure Grace. We have brain is shutting off here. The Answer, Pure Grace, and my favorite one, how could I forget, The Awesome Plan of God Study Guides. If you write me and you want one, I will mail it to you. If you are interested in other materials, you can go to Amazon.com as well as what we give you free on the Great Tribulation Ministries website. Please check that out. It's all put up there for you. And we're on Facebook. We have the Hens Pen Show page. Hit me up with the likes. I need to check it out. A girlfriend takes care of it, my dear Sunshine Girl. And also, Pastor Dan, it's under Daniel Lee Earl Hall, has a page as well. So hit us up, give us your thoughts, and remember, if you need prayer, we're here for you. Just write me, and we'll call you. And if you want to speak to Pastor Dan personally, we can arrange that. So until next week, God willing, which next week, what are we getting into here? We are getting into, eternally secure in Christ. That eternal life is for eternity. Ooh, this is good stuff, you guys, because I have been in churches where they tell you you can lose your salvation. Lie. And we will get into that because there are so many scriptures. Oh, I'm checking out page 27. Whoa, we got a lot of scriptures. So I'm looking forward to next week. Until then, God bless all of you. Pastor, I love you, and thank you so much. And I'm so glad you joined us tonight because I was worried about you the last couple of weeks. But in the pen, feeling good, and everybody have a wonderful night. God bless.
Well, thank you for letting me share, Wendy. I appreciate it, and I love you sharing this information.
You do that.
beautiful.
I love the study of Israel and the two brides.
It's just
two women.
You, the person. Thank you.
Yes, no, thank I love you. It. I love the correlation between the wife and, because you have to understand, Pastor, you know, you understand, but for listeners out there that have never been Jehovah's Witnesses, it's exciting for me because of what I was taught. And what I was taught is not biblical, because you can't find anything that we were taught to be biblical. They twisted so much. So
not
when
allowed
you go into
have
the,
any, oh, yeah.
You're right, but to know the gift, the promises of God, to know the promises of God and to find them in the Bible and to know what the sacred secret meant and why it wasn't in the Old Testament, because that was under works and law, and now we're under grace. I mean, it just, like you said, it's so perfect. It freaks me out because it's like people just, they put the Bible down. They don't want to read it, and it breaks my heart because they don't understand. It's not some awful book that's boring. It's boring because you don't have the Spirit of God, because you're just picking up and saying, okay, let me see, what does it say? Oh, man, this is boring, and throws it down. I mean, my 10-year-old granddaughter has the Spirit of God, and she loves reading the Bible, and I tell you, you know, not it's hard to get a 10-year-old to read the Bible, and she's so willing because she prayed and she asked for the Spirit of God, and she looks to Christ and goes to church and you know and gets fellowship, and that's what it's all about. But it's more about what we discussed, which was a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. We are no longer a part of like for us, Pastor and I, we were in a cult, and we had to answer to them. We don't answer. The Bible says that we confess our sins to no man, and the Bible says that only God can teach us. So why does it say that in the New Testament? Because of the relationship that we did not have with God in the Old Testament, the way that it was set up with God, the way that God was one-on-one with Moses and the prophets and so on. But as we get into the New Testament, we see the difference, and it's all about grace, and that's why I love preaching the gospel of grace of Jesus Christ. So let me go before I start preaching for another hour, but God bless all of you, and enjoy the podcast to all the podcast listeners. Love you, and good night.